Blog Talk Radio.
And all access is all exclusive.
Back at it again. It's a Turkey Day extravaganza. That's right, people. Happy Thanksgiving. It's the Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show right here, right now, presented by All Access Football, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, special remix edition. Usually we do it on Sundays. This week we're going to get all the games jam-packed, Thanksgiving action and all. We're going to go around the league of mystery intrigue, fantasy stud duds, and sleepers. And, of course, we'll be answering all your questions in the chat room. I am your host, Rick Saratella, and I'd like to welcome in the stars of the show. First off, we have Ross Dadamus. Ross Mandel, say hello to the people.
What's going on, Rick? What's going on, everybody? Thanksgiving means two things, football and food, and I'm ready for both, baby.
Oh, yeah, and the good Reverend, fresh out of church, always popping his cop. Holla.
Oh, yeah, fantasy football bonanza with all the trimmings. I can't wait.
And who else better to share that experience with but us here, right now, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio. Here we go, off and running, off to the races. Three big games on the docket today on Thursday, week 12 holiday. Let's get right into the action, fellas. Patriots, 8-2, traveling into Detroit, 2-8. And you know what? This could be a trap game. Tom Brady, what's his status there, Ralph?
Well, you know, Tom Brady, a lot of times, you know, they come up with that questionable status, but I fully expect him to play. You know, this might be a trap game, and I do think Detroit will be competitive in this one, but my stud is going to be Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis. He had 21 touches last week. He had 39 touches over the past two games, and for all the improvements the Lions have made this year, they still allow a lot of production to opposing runners, as evidenced by the 4.6 yards per carry average that they're giving up to running backs, along with 11 touchdowns scored against them via the ground attack. Plus, Detroit's defensive line is a little banged up, with Kyle Vandenbosch, Corey Williams, and Cliff Averill all playing at well under 100%. The dud here, as he has been for the past couple of weeks, is Jahvid Best. If you're still starting this guy, you're just not paying attention. Last week, he was limited to 2 yards on three carries. Now, is this kid supremely talented? Yes, and he's fun to watch, and I do think he has a nice future when he's healthy. Look for Maurice Morris to get the lion's share of touches later on today. The sleeper here is the wide receiver, Nate Burleson. He came on like gangbusters last week versus Dallas with 7 catches for 97 yards and a touchdown. In fact, he's caught 7 passes in 3 of his last 4 games. New England's secondary is very young and still vulnerable. Look for them to focus more on neutralizing Detroit's number one weapon, Calvin Johnson, leaving Burleson with single coverage, so watch him gobble up the yardage. I also expect the Lions to play a lot of catch-up ball in this one, since I foresee New England going out to the early lead. But I do think Detroit will be competitive, as I said before. I do think it's going to be somewhat close, but I do see New England winning this game by a score of 31-22.
Okay, 31-22, the Reverend says. And, you know, you got two lesser-known running backs in this matchup that might play key roles. You know, if you're in a deep league, you know, a big league, you know, maybe some deep sleepers, Danny Woodhead, Maurice Morris, as the Reverend said, look for more touches from those two guys on this early Thanksgiving matchup, 12:30 kickoff. That's right, just 4.5 hours away. Keeping it moving, Ross, we got the Saints 7-3, traveling into Dallas 3-7. Sean Payton says Reggie Bush is going to return this week. And how about them Cowboys under Jason Garrett, 2-0, 68 points on the board in the last 2 weeks? Do they have enough in the tank to keep the lucky streak going?
But I'll tell you, you know, Jason Garrett pulling out that bootleg for John Kitna, looking like Steve DeBerg there. Where were all these plays when Wade Phillips was coaching, baby? Come on now. Look, this week, you know, Drew Brees is going to be happy to have one of his toys back, and that's Reggie Bush. I don't expect him to contribute in a big level, but he will be there enough to distract the opposing defense, which isn't too good to start with. And that means that in this game, Marcus Colston is going to be the stud. Look, he busted out 8 catches for 113 yards and 2 touchdowns last week. I see no reason he can't duplicate that this week as the Saints if everybody's taken notice or beginning to peak offensively. I don't like much on Dallas. Jason Witten should contribute a little bit this week in this high-scoring game. But I'll tell you, New Orleans D is looking pretty solid, fourth overall in the league. To me, by far and away, the dud in this game is the Dallas rushing attack. Take your pick. Felix Jones, banged up, short week, not a lot of time to recover. I don't expect much from him. Marion Barber, 13 carries for 36 yards. He is washed up. And Tashard's choice is not the Cowboys' choice, even though Garrett, you know, has little choice but to go to him. So I would stay away from that entire operation there. Forget the Dallas running game. Concentrate on the two receivers, Austin and Dez Bryant. The sleeper in this one, it's the superstar, Jimmy Graham, tight end for the Saints, baby. Look, 5 catches for 72 yards last week, and you could tell that Drew Brees loves throwing to him, and why not? The guy is a mountain of a man, 6'8", huge target, very fast. He's almost impossible to guard with that height and that speed. Immense potential there. Forget Jeremy Shockey. Jimmy Graham is the future of New Orleans. I see Dallas hanging in this game a little bit in the beginning, but New Orleans pulling away at the end. Saints 30, Dallas 17.
All right. So, Ross, let me ask you, for the fantasy football owners out there wondering about this whole New Orleans Saints running back situation. You know, ideally, you want to avoid this situation at all costs, but, you know, sometimes you're down to the bare minimum. You know, you're searching the scrap heap. You know, now you got a dilemma to choose from here. To me, anyway, Chris Ivory or Reggie Bush, even Julius Jones, you want to say is in the mix. Which fantasy running back here offers the most upside, in your opinion?
Well, I think this week it's Chris Ivory, but I think that'll be the last week that I say that. I could see Bush getting maybe 10 touches today. He could do a bunch with him, but I see Ivory getting a lot more than that, probably 15 to 17 touches for him today. I'm not a Julius Jones fan. I'm not buying into him. I think Bush is going to steal them away from him. So I think today Ivory and moving forward Bush, and we'll see what happens with Pierre Thomas. I think they're going to rest him for another week, and you know, I think they're going to need him come playoffs, so they're going to keep him, want him fresh. So today I go with Chris Ivory.
Reverend Ralph, you care to weigh in on that Saints backfield by committee situation? Do you agree
I agree with Ross here. I also go with Chris Ivory. Look, with Reggie Bush, you're going to see him produce more as a receiver today, and I don't know how many touches he's going to get. I mean, he's still like in his preseason right now. You know, they'll work him in slowly. He'll be a factor, but I think Chris Ivory is going to be a bigger factor. You saw him last week just carry the running game. He's a tough, punishing, bruising runner, and I'm sure he's going to get his opportunities to score from close range from the goal line area. So I'm going with Chris Ivory today.
All right, we got the Patriots at Lions 12:30, the Saints and Cowboys at 4:15, and then, of course, the new Thanksgiving tradition, of course, NFL Network 8:20 tonight. That would be your New York Jets, Reverend, taking on the Cincinnati Bengals, who are, I should say, back to being the Bungles, 2-8. And, you know, Teocho had some rather interesting remarks this past week, calling out Darrell Revis and your boy Antonio Cromartie, saying that, you know, they are now the Ren and Stimpy of the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I'm personally getting a little sick of this little wrestling routine. But anyway, the stud here is Mark Sanchez. Now, is he playing at the level of Aaron Rodgers or Phil Rivers? No, he's not, but he's getting better. And he is someone, he's someone who's capable of putting up good numbers versus a poor secondary. I say poor secondary because the Bengals right now are a mess in the defensive backfield. Safety Chris Crocker is out for the year. Cornerback Jonathan Joseph has a bad ankle. Roy Williams is dealing with the after effects of his concussion. Not to mention the fact that Cincy cannot get to the quarterback with their front seven. Santonio Holmes has really elevated Sanchez's game, so the second-year passer should be a safe start this week. The dud here is Cedric Benson. Now, he was great versus Buffalo, but that was only his second 100-yard effort of the year. The Jets have been stout versus the run all year, allowing only about 75 yards to opposing ground games over the past month. Benson will get his touches, but he's been more of a 3 yards in a cloud of dust plotter for most of the season. David Harris and that defensive line won't do him any favors. The other dud here is Carson Palmer. He's inconsistent and turnover prone. He totally fell apart last week versus Buffalo in the second half. He has a bad foot, bum shoulder, and he's playing on 3 days rest on the road in cold weather. That's not good. Keep Carson Palmer on the bench. The sleeper here is not Ocho and not T.O. It is Jermaine Gresham, the rookie tight end. Expect T.O. and Ocho to be contained by Darrelle Revis and Antonio Cromartie, which favors Gresham. But also, the Jets' defense can be exploited down the seams. Guys like Dwight Lowry, Drew Coleman, and Kyle Wilson have all had trouble covering the slot. And Gresham could easily get open on free safety Brodney Poole. I do love the Jets in this one. Jets 30, Cincinnati 13.
All right, so the Reverend going with his hometown boys, the New York Jets. And I got to say, Ralph, you were on the money a couple weeks ago. You said LaDainian Tomlinson looked for him to wear down in the second half of the season. I think we're starting to see that. Just 3 yards per carry last week on 12 touches. Is this a trend you expect to see continue?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, as the season wears on, the Jets are going to expect more hard running, more better inside running from Sean Green, who is the bigger and younger back. LaDainian Tomlinson, I think, is going to be more useful as the pass catcher out of the backfield. So I would expect Green to get more carries and to get a lot more of those inside carries and gain the tough yards.
All right, that's your Turkey Day games, three up, three down. And we are the Fantasy Football Insiders radio show going around the league. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. You can always get more information, news, and updates over at the NFLDraftBible.com. Want to let everybody know Rostradamus here has leaked his Thanksgiving Turkey Week ramble over at the NFLDraftBible.com, so I highly recommend you take a visit over to NFL Draft Bible and check out his latest ramble, Rostradamus' ramble on this Thanksgiving Turkey Day preview. If you care to give the folks a little preview of what they can get over there, Ross?
Well, I'll tell you, this week was a very interesting week with the whole Vince Young debacle and everything going on in the league. I'm telling you, this the Vince Young thing, and now we have a new story with Marvin Lewis. We had Childress getting fired. What do you attribute that to? Is it all on him? What are the Vikings going to do this week? How much of it's on Brett Favre? What's Favre's story? How much did he have to do with it and all that? And the Giants looking like they're going through a second-half slide again while their roommates, the Jets, just keep on trucking and pulling these games out at the end. And can't call it luck when it happens every week, man. The Jets just seem to have that thing going where they got a little mojo down at the end of the games and, you know, commented on that and pretty much everything else going on in the league.
Yeah, we'll be touching base on a lot of those topics, and I hope those Jets are not getting too hot too early. But you mentioned Marvin Lewis there, Ross, and, you know, since we just previewed that Jets and Cincinnati game, let's take a second to talk about Marvin Lewis and the Bengals. You know, I'm going to open it up to the floor right now. Is he going to last through the entire season?
Oh, he's absolutely going to last through the entire season. There's no way those cheapskates in Cincinnati are going to get rid of him now. They're going to make him work for what they're paying him. But I wouldn't be shocked if the day after the season he was gone. I mean, last year he kind of saved his bacon. You know, he was sort of had one foot out the door going into last year, but he saved his job. I don't think anything saves him this year. This team has completely fallen apart. They need a new coaching staff. They need new offensive players. They need a little tweaking on defense. There's going to be a lot of changes in Cincinnati after the season's over.
Ralph, between Marvin Lewis, Carson Palmer, Ocho Cinco, and Terrell Owens, which one of those guys has the best chance of coming back, or are they all out of here?
I think if anybody has the best chance, it's probably Carson Palmer. He's making a lot of money. It's hard to replace your quarterback as bad as he's been. Maybe if he gets healthy, maybe he'll have a bounce-back season. But you notice I use the word maybe a lot when I'm talking about Carson Palmer. in my opinion, I would just clean house and get rid of all those guys. But if I had to pick one who has the best chance of sticking around, I'd probably say it's the quarterback. He's the one who's harder to replace than anyone else, any one of those guys you just mentioned.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it's not hard to replace the 23rd-ranked passer rating in Carson Palmer. I think the guy is you know, possibly the worst starting quarterback in the league. Ross, you care to weigh in?
Well, I don't know that I'd quite go that far, but I think he's definitely hurting the team as opposed to helping them. And he's one of those guys whose statistics belie his actual performance. Most of his positive yardage has come during games that they're being blown out in. Whenever games have been on the line, he has come up woefully short. I don't know if it's the injured arm that he has, but Carson Palmer has not been the same since that injury that he suffered a couple years ago. I agree with Ralph. I see he being the one that comes back. There's no way Ocho and T.O. are coming back. But, you know, when the dust settles, if Cleveland is deluded into thinking that Carson Palmer is going to be part of the restoration project, they're in more trouble than I thought.
But you see, the problem is that Cincinnati doesn't have anybody that's any good coming off the bench. So unless they go out and spend major bucks in free agency, or maybe they draft one of these stars in college, you know, I don't see another quarterback around the corner that's going to come in with this white cape and save the day next year for the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, so they might have to endure another poor season potentially with Carson Palmer at the helm. Now, Cincinnati traditionally doesn't spend a lot of money, and that's a problem. But, you know, hopefully, you know, team management will open up their eyes and realize that, you know, Carson Palmer's on the downswing. And it all started with his elbow when he decided to not go through with that Tommy John surgery in his elbow. And ever since, his arm has never been the same. So, I mean, we'll see, you know, but hopefully they'll be proactive and look for a new quarterback.
I agree with you, Ralph,
yeah,
but I think they're looking at a down season next year regardless. So why not get rid of Palmer, draft someone, and bring in, like, a mediocre replacement just to temporarily hold the fort until whomever they draft is ready to go? I would go in that direction. Get a clean slate going.
Yeah, 2-8, they have a good chance to get one of those rookie quarterbacks. But I got to tell you, like you guys said, they're penny pinchers over there in Cincinnati. If they do draft a quarterback, they might as well hand the reins fully over because they're not going to pay to keep Carson Palmer and a top five rookie quarterback on the roster with those kind of salaries. So we discussed the whole Marvin Lewis situation in Cincinnati this week, Ross. We had the firing of Brad Childress in Minnesota, and Leslie Frazier, maybe 5 weeks too late, takes over for the Minnesota Vikings, who are now 3-7, playing out the string of games here. And the whole Brett Favre fiasco. They travel into Washington, who are, you know, 5-5. And I got to say, you know, that situation doesn't seem exactly to be on the sunny side either with that whole Donovan McNabb situation. Why don't you break this one down for the people, Ross?
Yeah, definitely a battle of two of the inconsistent and disappointing teams as far as I'm concerned. I think you always, you know, start Adrian Peterson going to have a decent day against the Redskins. We all know that. But I got to tell you, I am ready, after watching the Vikings last week, to recommend Sidney Rice. He came back from the dead, back again, played 48 out of 57 snaps, more than anybody thought that he would. And I got to tell you, he looked good to me. If Favre hadn't overthrown him on one pass, he would have had an easy touchdown. I think you can play him and feel good about it against the Redskins' 29th-ranked pass defense. I got it with Ryan Terrain out, and Clinton Portis done, Keeland Williams is going to get a lot of touches today. I don't know that he's going to have a solid running game. I'm thinking something like 20 for 65, but he'll also catch a couple of passes. When they're down by the goal line, it'll be he that gets the touches. I think he's a decent play today. The dud in this one, and I hesitate here, that's Vishanti Shenko. Look, he had 2 catches for 6 yards last week, and even if he's targeted in the red zone, you know, he could have 3 catches for 10 yards and a touchdown. That's not a lot of fantasy points. I'd avoid him in favor of guys like Pettigrew, Jimmy Graham, those sorts of players. Although I do have to give it a caveat here. Now that Childress is gone, you know Brett Favre is going to have, if not, you know, if he didn't have total control over what was going on before, he's certainly going to have it now in the offense. And he might look to Shenko early here, but I think that'll take a couple games to manifest itself because he's going to be looking for my man Sidney Rice in this one. The sleeper here, look, not necessarily in this game, but, you know, both myself and the Reverend have mentioned him in the past, and now with Clinton Portis on IR, I think it's imperative that you snag him if you have room on your roster, and that's James Davis. look, with no Portis, Davis, you know, all he's needed is a chance. And with no Portis and Keelan Williams, he's basically a twisted ankle away from getting some carries. And you know that Shanahan doesn't stick with only one running back. So I think as you head into the playoffs of your fantasy league and you're looking for depth down the line, you could pick up James Davis and be happy about it at about week 14 or 15. In this game, I see absolutely no doubt that Minnesota gets that new coach bounce and defeats the Redskins 27-17.
Interesting. So Rostradamus predicts the Vikings bounce back and have a little bounce in their step just like Dallas did with Jason Garrett. I don't know, Rev, you know, that whole Brett Favre situation, 17 interceptions through the first 10 games. Are you a believer that the Vikings will bounce back? And, you know, how much leeway does Favre have? Does it come to a point where you just have to bench this guy and put him to Tavarius Jackson?
Well, I do think that the Vikings will play harder for their new head coach, not just because there's a change that's been made, but also because they hated the coach that was there before, Brad Childress. So I think that, you know, this guy, this new guy here, he commands a lot more respect, and he's just much more of a people person from what I can see. As far as Brett Favre goes, the guy's playing terribly. I think that, I mean, can he bounce back? Will he play a little bit better? He might in this game, just because he feels real good about the coaching change, I'm sure, just like everybody else does on that team. But I think for the good of the team, I think you have to give Tavarius Jackson some time here. I mean, you really don't know what you have in this young player. I know that the Vikings might not be that high on him, but since he's on your team, let him play. The team's not going anywhere. They're not fighting for a playoff spot. Their season, for all intent and purposes, is over. And right now, you know, you're going to see, you know, which players really like playing football. It's evaluation time. Brett Favre is going to be gone next year. So it's time to evaluate, see what you have in these young guys. That way you could really formulate a plan of attack, a plan of action in the offseason.
Ross, Tavarius Jackson, do you know what you have in him? Is that the guy you want to see? Or do you want to turn it over to Joe Webb down the stretch and see what he's got going?
Well, I mean, Tavarius Jackson has had some chances. He hasn't been told you have the keys for the entire season, but he has been out there, you know, nine games, 12 games, last 3 years. Hasn't done a lot with it. So I think, and look, if they thought anything of him, they wouldn't have gotten on their knees and begged Brett Favre to come in 2 years. Look, especially this year. Why not give Joe Webb a shot? I don't know. I think maybe they will at the end of the season, like week 15, week 16. Favre has been so poor, but for some reason they think that, look, you know, we paid all this money for him. We have all these fans that we need to placate. We got rid of the coach. We got to win a couple of games. And I truly believe that the entire organization thinks that Favre gives them the best chance. But as my man T.O. said on his show this week, what chance? They're 3-7. I mean, the bottom line is he's part of the reason they're 3-7. So I'm with the Rev. I'd give someone else a chance, even if it's Jackson. But I'd like to see what Joe Webb could do. Put him in there for a few games.
Yeah, he had an outstanding preseason at Joe Webb, just a name to remember down the stretch later in the season. All right, keeping it moving, you know, from one debacle to another, you know, I think we're watching the Titans season unfold right before our very eyes. And, Ralph, I got to say, you know, they brought over Randy Moss. That hasn't seemed to work out. You know, I think he has one catch in two games. Looks like the Vince Young era is now officially over in Tennessee. It'd be interesting to see what happens to him during the offseason. And now they're down with Kerry Collins injured to their third string quarterback, sixth-round pick, Rusty Smith. Yes, Rusty Smith, that Rusty Smith from Florida Atlantic. And I got to get this tidbit in because Howard Schnellenberger, a good friend of the show, head coach of Florida Atlantic, did say, you know, this is going back a couple of years now, when he recruited Rusty Smith out of high school, he did say Rusty Smith is the greatest quarterback he's ever recruited. Now, why is that significant? All right, well, let's take it back to Paul Bear Bryant. Howard Schnellenberger was the man responsible for recruiting Joe Namath to Alabama. So those are some heavy hitting words there and some heavy expectations that he didn't quite fulfill, Ralph. But let's be honest, there is some potential with this kid.
Yeah, there is some potential. I mean, he does have size. He has decent arm strength, not great arm strength. He can make most of the throws, but he tends to be a little inconsistent, and we saw that last week. But the kid is young. Why not give him a chance? And at this point, they really have no choice. As far as studs, duds, and sleepers go, I would say, as far as Houston is concerned, you start all the guys you normally would start, Andre Johnson, Arian Foster, but you also start Matt Schaub. Yes, he has been injured and woefully inconsistent this year, but he was heroic in leading his team from behind last week and even had a couple of passes dropped on him versus the Jets. Plus, the Titans have a subpar secondary this year. They're giving up the highest amount of completions per game to the opposition. And in 2009, Schaub averaged 331 yards versus Tennessee and threw a total of 6 touchdowns against them. The duds here, well, I mean, this goes without saying, but the Houston defense is just unwatchable at this point. And the dud, another dud here, is Jacoby Jones. He hasn't scored since week 2, and he's only the 4th or 5th option in the passing game. Sleeper here, this might be the week that Randy Moss finally takes off. I mean, this is your classic boom or bust pick with Rusty Smith playing quarterback. The Texans may be the worst defense of all time when it comes to covering receivers, and you can bet that Smith will take some shots downfield to Randy Moss. Houston's secondary has allowed 7 different receivers to go over 100 yards, and their young DBs are continually getting beat on double moves. Another sleeper here is the tight end, Joel Dreesen. He'll be starting in place of Owen Daniels once again. He has a great matchup versus a Tennessee team that has surrendered 2 100-yard gains to tight ends over the past 2 weeks. Overall, I think both of these teams are going to move the ball. I think they're both going to score points. I think it's going to be a close game. But I do see Tennessee pulling this one out behind Chris Johnson. It's going to be the Titans 28, Texans 27.
Interesting, Rev. I'm not sure I can back Rusty Smith there, but I do think it'll be a close game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think Chris Johnson should have any problems putting up yards, and I think because of Chris Johnson, I think Rusty Smith is going to be good enough to get the win here for Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, you really couldn't ask for a better team to go against in your first start, but I'm just curious to see how the entire Tennessee team reacts to primarily the whole Vince Young debacle. How are they going to play? And also, I mean, don't underestimate the departure of Coach Mike Heimerdinger with the cancer treatment he's undergoing. That's got to shake your team up too.
Yeah, you know something, you know, those types of things, they could work both ways. They can hurt the team or they can elevate the team. And I'm not going to predict, you know, what type of effect that's going to have. You know, it sounds like a lot of guys are pulling for him. It sounds like Heimerdinger is a very popular coach. So I'm going to assume that the team is going to play very hard because of, you know, Heimerdinger's absence. And I'm thinking that Coach Jeff Fisher is going to rally the troops and make sure that his guys put up a good effort this week.
Yeah. Tennessee will be playing with some heavy hearts, and we'll see that. I mean, you know, listen, whichever team loses this game, they're both hanging on a string with their playoff hopes. This could be a playoff elimination match with a very tough AFC playoff race coming down as we wind down. Week 12 holiday here on the Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini going around the league of mystery and intrigue. And, you know, we'll be back at it again starting for Week 13, creeping up on the Fantasy Football Playoffs. Week 13, we are back in our normal slot on the Fantasy Sports Channel. We'll be here each and every Sunday morning, 8 to 10, special two-hour edition for the Fantasy Football Playoff stretch. Week 13, back at it again, Sunday morning, 8 to 10. You can always stay up to the latest and the greatest over at NFLDraftBible.com. We got a lot of good articles posted over there. Of course, our NFL draft rankings coming up on the NFL draft as well. And, you know, it's happy Thanksgiving. It's our Turkey Day extravaganza like we do each and every year. So welcome aboard. Good to see some of our regulars in the chat room. I saw G-Money, JoJo, PC Keen, Snake Eyes, Mumphrey. I think you're a newbie to the show. Welcome aboard.
Snake Guys, always love to see you guys in the chat room. And we're a little light, you know, usually we're on the Fantasy Sports Channel, so the chat room is usually bumping. Not as many questions today, but if you do have some fantasy football dilemmas, we are here to answer those for you. So let's keep it moving here on this Week 12 holiday. We covered the Turkey Day games, and now we're getting into the 1 o'clock games. And the next one, Ross, is your boys, the Giants, 6-4, taking on the Jaguars, who are also surprisingly 6-4. And I guess the big news out of New York this week is the signing of Devin Thomas. No, I'm just joking. It's Todd Bradshaw being benched, Brandon Jacobs getting the call, the starting nod. What's your take on that whole situation, Ross? Good or bad call?
I think it's a good call. I don't know that it's going to reduce his carries overall, especially now since the passing game is going to be a little limited with Hakeem Nicks out. But, look, you know, Bradshaw, you can't keep putting the ball on the floor. You just can't do it. Five fumbles, and he's lucky he didn't have a sixth in that game. Look, Brandon Jacobs is going to get the start. I don't know that he's going to get the bulk of the carries, but, you know, we'll see if message received from Ahmad Bradshaw. You better believe that Jacksonville is going to be trying to rip the ball from him. You know, when there's blood, the Sharks come to play, and I think everybody knows that he's susceptible to dropping a ball. So I can't argue with what Tom Coughlin's done here. You know, send a message and also secure the football. Turnovers kill. That's why the Giants are sitting at 6-4, even with all their great statistical numbers. Look, the guy to have in this game, the out-and-out stud, is going to be Maurice Jones-Drew. The guy had 133 yards rushing, touchdown last week. He had three catches for 87 yards, including the end-of-the-game, essential game winner that he took down to the one-yard line in that Keystone Cops dump off and run. Guy had to run 100 yards in the 70 yards that he ran there. I mean, he was running all over the place. He's been on fire in his last three games, and I pretty much think that, look, he's going to be what the offense is for Jacksonville. You know, Mike Sims-Walker is still banged up. Mike Thomas, you know, solid receiver, but I don't think he's going to go over the century mark in this game, and that's because Maurice Jones-Drew most certainly is, and he'll find the end zone. As we said, you know, Bradshaw's fumbling is a cause for concern here, and Hakeem Nicks owners, man, I feel bad for you, myself included. We're missing out on a potential bonanza here, but I still think Mario Manningham should feast on Jacksonville's 28th-ranked passing defense. I easily see him approaching 100 yards and finding the end zone in this one. And the dud for me, contrary to what you might think, you know, Kevin Boss is not going to see his numbers go up too significantly, even without Steve Smith and Hakeem Nicks in the lineup. He's not getting looks, and even with Smith and Nicks out, he's not getting looks, and I think that's going to continue. Plus, the guy cannot make two catches in a row without something getting injured on him. He makes a catch, he gets tackled, all of a sudden he's gimpy, he's got to come out of the game for a few series. I'm not buying Kevin Boss as a replacement for any part of the receiving game this week. I would avoid him if I were picking tight ends. Look, you're looking at deep sleepers in this game, and I turn to the Giants receiving core here, what's left of it. Derek Hagan, you know, big target, looked decent. Red zone opportunity, but to me, when they get the ball inside the red zone, I think Eli Manning is going to look to Travis Beckham in the red zone. Forget Kevin Boss. I would rather have Travis Beckham in this game. I think he gives offers more success in the red zone for your fantasy team. If you're desperate, I would not start Kevin Boss in this game. I would go for the touchdown guy, and to me, that's Travis Beckham. I think the Giants have to win this game. If they lose this game, both they, the fans, and the media are going to be talking about yet another late-season slide for this team, and it'll be for a good reason if they lose their third in a row. I do not think they will. I think the Giants eke out a win here 24-20 against the Jags.
Yeah, tough matchup, and, you know, you mentioned Travis Beckham. He hit pay dirt again last week, so keep a lookout for him, maybe somebody who's coming on down the stretch of the season. I will say this, with the little role reversal we have going on in third and short yardage, instead of Brandon Jacobs up the middle, I think we might see a little more Ahmad Bradshaw out of the backfield on some screen passes and maybe even some draw plays with that depleted wide receiving corps. So, you know, Ross, like you said, he may not be starting, but I think the touches will still be in the same area. In fact, I think he might even be set up for situations that he'll be able to make some plays. And, you know, I got to be honest, on film, watching this Jacksonville Jaguars defense, one of their biggest problems is wrapping up ball carriers and making strong tackles. So I actually think Ahmad Bradshaw is a very solid fantasy football play this week. Do you agree, Reverend?
Yes, I agree. And as I said last week, that's something they should have started against the Eagles. That is, you know, get Bradshaw involved in that screen game. This kid is explosive. And, you know, as Ross said, Kevin Voss is not a guy you want to count on those short routes. I would rather put the ball in the hands of Ahmad Bradshaw.
All right, Fantasy Football Insiders radio show, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. The chat room's starting to wake up over here, so let's get to some of their questions, fellas, and see if we can help them out. Mumphrey, new to the show, wants to know, Brandon Jackson or Freddie Jackson in the Battle of the Jacksons? And, Ralph, I got to say, Freddie Jackson coming on strong the last two games.
Yes, he's coming on strong, and he's looked good, but I don't look for that to continue this week, only because he's going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And unfortunately, nobody runs the ball versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I could definitely see Buffalo falling behind in that game and, you know, Jackson being reduced to somebody who's just going to catch a bunch of screen passes. Brandon Jackson, yeah, he's no great shakes, but, you know, he plays in the much better offense. I do think that Green Bay is going to put up a lot of points versus Atlanta this week. So I think the potential is there for Jackson to have a more productive fantasy day than Fred Jackson in Buffalo.
Russ, your take, Brandon Jackson or Freddie Jackson?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Brandon Jackson today. I just think there's going to be more opportunity to succeed for him. I think Fred Jackson's going to get completely shut down by Pittsburgh. Look, he might get some receiving yardage in that game. He'll have his share of dump-offs, but I actually kind of like Brandon Jackson as a decent number two today. This weekend against Atlanta. I know Atlanta doesn't give up a lot of points to fantasy running backs, but, you know, with Aaron Rodgers there, there's going to be plenty of chances. Spread them out, little rushing attack. You're going to go four wide, spread the field. I like Brandon Jackson as a play, and I don't like Fred Jackson's matchup at all, but I do like him obviously better for the course of the season.
Yeah, I got to say, it's really a tough question because, you know, like we said, Freddie Jackson's been playing so good. But it's like, you know, you run into this Pittsburgh Steelers defense, and you really don't want to take your chances with that. And even though Brandon Jackson hasn't been playing great football, he does do well in spurts, and he has had his moments this season. I think this Green Bay-Atlanta game that we'll preview later on is probably, you know, a playoff-type matchup, and I think there's going to be some points on the board. So for this week and this week only, I think I'm going to go with the fellas here and go Brandon Jackson over Freddie Jackson. Definitely a tough, tough question, but I think, like you mentioned, Fred Jackson offers more value for the rest of the way. But this week, you got to go Brandon Jackson. All right. JoJo needs two wide receivers in a PPR league. Roddy White, Stevie Johnson, James Jones, Jacoby Ford, Malcolm Floyd, Nate Washington. Does anyone on the panel think that Roddy White and Steve Johnson is not the right formula on this one?
No, Roddy White and Steve Johnson, that's the way to go right there.
Yeah.
I know, Russ, you've been high on James Jones, tooting that train a little bit. You go Stevie Johnson or James Jones this week?
Yeah, as much as I love James Jones, little Stevie Johnson is the man. You got to have him in there.
The Joker, you might call him.
You got it.
JoJo has another tough question. One of the dilemmas that I have in one of my leagues, Mike Goodson of Carolina or Tolbert from San Diego. Currently, I have Tolbert over Goodson, but let's throw it around the panel and go over to the good Reverend Ralph Mancini. Goodson or Tolbert for week 12?
Yeah, Goodson's a nice little play here. I like what I've seen from him so far, but I am not going to play him over Tolbert. I think Tolbert has a fantastic matchup versus Indianapolis. He's not very strong versus the run. And I think there are going to be a ton of points scored in that game between Indy and San Diego. In fact, that is the fantasy game of the week. And I liked what I saw out of Tolbert last week. It doesn't look like Ryan Matthews is going to be ready to come back. And even if he does, Tolbert right now is just a better running back. The guy is hard to tackle. He's a big man that's got some burst. So I'm going to go with Tolbert here.
Yeah, I've got to say, Tolbert's running like a freight train, Ross, and just based on his short yardage carries alone, I think he's going to be good for a lot of scores for the rest of the way. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I got to agree. Tolbert definitely looked like a solid runner, and Goodson's looked tremendous, but Turf Toe Johnny, our old buddy, is back in the mix here in Carolina, and you know, I think he's going to be the main man going forward. I don't think Goodson's going to be out of it completely because, you know, there's no D'Angelo Williams there. But, you know, Jonathan Stewart coming back puts a huge hit into Mike Goodson's already limited fantasy potential.
You know, I got to see it to believe it. So let's see here. All right, Mumphrey chiming in again in the chat room, guys, says he just checked his waiver wire. And, you know, we just talked about the whole Brandon Jackson, Freddie Jackson dilemma. But now it seems like Chris Ivory or Keelan Williams is available on the waiver wire. And I don't know about you guys, but Keelan Williams surely sounds enticing.
Yeah, but Keelan Williams has the tougher matchup going up against Minnesota. Look, I know Minnesota's defense hasn't really played that well this year, has underachieved. But still, you have to think with the new coach in place, if they're going to be motivated, and they're probably going to come with their A game this week. Whereas Chris Ivory, he's going up against a Dallas Cowboys defense that, you know, quite frankly, doesn't scare me or doesn't scare anybody when it comes to defending the run or defending the pass. So I think for this week, I'm probably going to go with Ivory.
Ivory over Brandon Jackson, you're saying, Rev?
Oh, I thought you said over Keelan Williams.
Well, yeah, the same guy who has Brandon Jackson is saying now that Ivory and Keelan Williams
right.
are his
No, I wow, I don't know if I'd take him over Brandon Jackson this week. I know what, I would take him over Brandon Jackson just because Brandon Jackson, look, as good as I think that he is, and I think he will get a lot of action, he will be productive this week. You know, he is sharing the ball with some other running backs there. You know, Dimitri Nance got into the action. And then when they get down to the goal line, I mean, you never know if Jackson's going to get the ball, if they're going to give it to John Kuhn. So I think for this week, and again, for this week only, I think Chris Ivory is the better play.
All right, so Reverend's on the record for Chris Ivory over Brandon Jackson. Let's go over to Rostradamus, get his opinion. And any chance, I don't know, I'm still liking Keelan Williams. Any chance, you know, he can rumble, bumble, stumble against that Minnesota Vikings defense, Ross?
I think he's going to be able to be just fine against the Minnesota defense. That defense hasn't been invincible this year by any stretch. But, you know, you take a look at Williams' next two games, Minnesota and the Giants, and you take a look at Ivory's next two games, Dallas and Cincinnati, and Ivory definitely has a better matchup. But after that, you're going to have Pierre Thomas in the mix. Reggie Bush is going to be up to speed. So Keelan Williams will be the better play week 14 on, and that means playoffs. So I think I'd probably pick up Keelan Williams, get through the next 2 weeks, and then he has a relatively, you know, easy schedule as far as fantasy running backs go. And Ivory is not going to be getting the bulk of the carries once Pierre Thomas comes back. Plus, Ivory's already a little banged up. So long-term, you got to look long-term. Playoffs count in fantasy football, baby. I would go with Keelan Williams long-term, definitely over Brandon Jackson, but not this week over Brandon Jackson.
Yeah, but that is if you're already in the playoffs. If you're fighting for a playoff spot, you can't think that long-term.
You're right.
Well, I'll tell you what, I like Keelan Williams this week. I think he's going to get 20-plus carries. And, you know, I have Ivory. He's been very streaky and inconsistent. You just don't know what you're going to get. I think Keelan Williams, you know he's going to get 20-plus touches. And even if it's 20 carries for 70 yards, I think he finds a way to get a touchdown. And I like my chances with Keelan Williams. I would play Keelan Williams over Brandon Jackson. And like you mentioned, Ross, for the long haul, looks like Keelan Williams is in line to be, you know, get the bulk of the carries here in Washington. All right, sticking to the chat room, guys. We got some tight end questions coming in now. Antonio Gates is out, and JoJo wants to know, Randy McMichael or Ben Watson in PPR? I got to say, I heard somewhere that Ben Watson might also be out, and Evan Moore would be the guy in Cleveland. Any thoughts there, fellas?
Well, you know, the thing with the McMichael is, I don't know if you watched the game last week, you know, he pulled up lame on a play but continued playing. But, you know, he really didn't get into the action. So I don't know how healthy McMichael is. You know, they might be giving Corey Sperry some more time if Gates is not able to suit up for Sunday's game. I don't know. To me, if Ben Watson suits up, I'm going to have to go with him. I'm not a big Ben Watson fan, as you well know. But the guy, to me, he's the safest way to go if he does indeed play this Sunday.
Yeah, well, keep an eye on Evan Moore. I think he had four catches for 89 yards.
I like Evan Moore. Yeah.
Yeah. So if Watson doesn't play, keep an eye on him. Another potential sleeper. Also, in the chat, they want to know, is Owen Daniels playing or do you use Joel Greese?
No, he's not playing.
Okay,
he's
so
out.
All right. Now, Ross, you said earlier you're down on Vasanti Schenko. So he has Schenko, he has Aaron Hernandez, and he could pick up Joel Dreesen. What's your guys? Who's the best fantasy play for Week 12 there?
I'd go with Joel Dreesen for sure. I mean, he's been producing. You saw what he did against the Jets, albeit 48 were on one play. But look, bottom line is they're a pass-happy team. They're going to be throwing the ball, I think, this week an awful lot. And Dreesen gives them the potential to succeed. Forget about Owen Daniels. He's out of the mix. I'm not sold on Schenko until Favre starts throwing him the ball more. And you never know what you're going to get with Hernandez. You know, he could score or he could have no catches. So to me, Dreesen, the safer play, he's going to be fine. You're safe to get at least 50 to 70 yards with him at five receptions. So I think you take that.
I got to say, that's a little bit surprising to me. I got to throw it over to the Reverend and let him weigh in. Dreesen, Aaron Hernandez, or Vasanti Schenko, who's the best fantasy option in your opinion, Ralph?
You know, I like Dreesen a lot this week, but I don't know if I could play him over Hernandez. Hernandez has a great matchup, and, you know, from week to week, you don't know who's going to get the ball, but I do have the feeling that Hernandez is going to get his share of touches this week. I think Brady's going to target him a lot against that Detroit secondary. I don't think he should have a tough time finding his open receivers. I'm going to go with Hernandez this week. I know Dreesen looked good, but he also dropped. I know he dropped one big pass last week, so I don't know if I have that much faith in him. I think I like Hernandez just a little bit more.
It's risky, though. One catch the last 2 weeks. It's a little risky to me.
Yeah, I'm going to throw a little monkey wrench into the equation because I think we got three options, three different choices from three different hosts. You know, to me, the emergence of Danny Woodhead, I think, has eaten into some of Aaron Hernandez's looks. Look, for me, the bottom line is I just don't feel comfortable, you know, at this stage of the season putting money on the line on Joel Dreesen. So I'm just going to hold my breath and take my chances with Vasanti Schenko and hope that Brett Favre finds him in the back of the end zone. But, you know, very tough question. I'm not sure that we helped you out on that one. But, hey, sometimes that happens. We don't always agree on everything. If we did, we'd have a very dull and boring show. But this is the Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, go around the league each and every week. Next week, week 13, for the rest of the way, we'll be back on the Fantasy Sports Channel from 8 to 10, two-hour special. Each and every week, getting you ready for those fantasy football playoffs. Boy, I'm getting geared up, ready to go. Can't wait. Make room on the mantle, slide some trophies over, and get that new chip for the 2010 fantasy football season. All right, always remember, log on to NFLDraftBible.com for your latest news, information, and, hey, listen, you guys got a question during the week? You can email us, media@NFLDraftBible.com. Once again, you got a question during the week? Either Rick, Ross, Ralph, or myself, hey, I said my name twice. One of us will get back to you, and maybe all of us will get back to you. You can always reach us at media@NFLDraftBible.com. Also, make sure you tune in to the All Access Football Profile right here on Blog Talk Radio. As the NFL draft season gears up, we will be doing those player spotlight interviews one-on-one. We go one-on-one with all the NFL draft prospects. I think we had over 200 interviews from players who were drafted last season. So make sure you keep it locked. Beaumarchant, you know, our residential interview guru, will be going crazy. Of course, Daniel Moglione also on the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight Show. Those will be starting up soon, especially with the college programs who did not make bowl games. A lot of their seasons end after this Thanksgiving week. So keep a lookout for the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight Shows. And, of course, you can always stay updated over at NFLDraftBible.com. Sign up for our email list. We'll send you out the email blast. It's all free. All right. Let's keep it moving here on this Week 12 holiday. We're still in these 1 o'clock matchups, and we've been talking about this Pittsburgh and Buffalo matchup. The Bills, you know, miraculous win last week, so be it, against the Bengals, down by 17 at the half. They win by 18, and now they take on the Pittsburgh Steelers as they look to win their third game of the season. But the Steelers, 7-3, Ralph, and I got to give a shout-out to our boy, Emmanuel Sanders, who got a lot of love here on the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight. Looks like he has now officially surpassed Antoine Randle-L and has become that number three target behind Hines Ward and Mike Wallace there in Pittsburgh.
Yes, absolutely. And this is a game that if Pittsburgh wants to be considered a true contender, they have to go out and win it convincingly. And that's why the stud is going to be the Pittsburgh Steeler defense. When this unit forces their opponent to become one-dimensional, it can be devastating. Look for that to happen versus a pass-happy Bills team that will be forced to air it out after it falls behind. Lamar Woodley and James Harrison will be wreaking havoc in the backfield. I also like Steve Johnson as a stud here. He is no longer a sleeper. After last week's three-touchdown effort, Steve Johnson is on pace for 1,200 yards and 15 touchdowns. He's a very capable route runner. He's very physical, not to mention the fact that he is Buffalo's go-to guy in the red zone. The dud here, and we spoke about this guy before, is Fred Jackson. No one runs versus Pittsburgh. The Steelers have allowed four touchdowns on the ground all season and are holding opponents to 63 rushing yards per game. The other dud here is Lee Evans. He's an inconsistent deep threat who won't have time to run out his deep patterns versus a mighty Steeler pass rush. The sleeper here, and Rick beat me to the punch, is Emmanuel Sanders. He is slowly but surely turning into Pittsburgh's number three wide receiver. He's becoming a bigger part of the offense with his targets increasing each week. And Buffalo's defense can neither rush the passer nor stop receivers from crossing the goal line. I like Pittsburgh here, 27-14.
Yeah, it should be a rather easy win for the Steelers, but we also thought the Bengals would whoop them last week, and that didn't exactly happen. So, hey, Ryan Fitzpatrick, man, is slinging it around. And, you know, those Bills are quietly becoming a dangerous team in terms of being in it, being competitive right to the very end almost each and every week. Got to say, you know, if you look at the Bills' schedule here, last week, like we said, they got the miraculous win in Cincinnati, 49-31. The week before, they beat Detroit 14-12. And if you look at those previous three games before their two wins, Chicago, they lost 22-19. Kansas City, they lost in overtime 13-10. Baltimore, they lost in overtime 37-34. So, I mean, if you look at this last five-game stretch that the Bills have put together, they lost, you know, three games by a field goal, two of them in overtime, and then two wins in a row. I don't know. Chan Gailey and them boys in Buffalo might be circling the wagons. Who knows? You know, who knows? We'll see. But I will say this. You know, I have Heath Miller on my fantasy football team. He hasn't really done much of anything all season long. Call me crazy. I just got a little bit of a funny feeling he may do some damage today against the Bills. And, you know, Ross, I know you keep your finger on the pulse, keep tabs on Buffalo every now and then. What's your take on this team overall?
Well, I got to say, unlike a lot of the other teams that haven't played well, Dallas and Cincinnati, the Bills have been in most every game, and they've busted their tails in every game. And I know you're supposed to do that, but, you know, we're talking about human beings here on a football field, and when things go bad time and time again, it's very difficult to keep up, you know, that the attitude on the field when you have to play and you're playing from behind most every game. And I think Chan Gailey deserves some props for having his team busting their tails every play, every game. And that's the reason we're seeing them win a couple of these games, because they are mentally in these games as well as on the scoreboard. And look, they're not the worst team in the league. You know, the bottom line is Carolina's terrible, Cincinnati's terrible, but those teams, I haven't really seen the effort, nor out of Minnesota, out of Dallas. Buffalo has given the effort. They've been rewarded the last 2 weeks. And, yeah, they could have won a couple of those games that they didn't, but we all knew they would win some games because they were so competitive, both on the scoreboard and in reality as far as their attitude is concerned. So, you know, they're a fun team to watch. They bust their tails every game, and I'm looking forward to watching them this week again. I think they're going to give the Steelers a stern test.
Yeah, you know, they came out of the gates 0-8. They could have very easily laid down flat. They responded with two bounce-back wins. And I got to tell you, I think this kid Ryan Fitzpatrick, Harvard in the house, has a real future in the NFL. I like him, and I like him a lot.
Yeah, I think he's their quarterback.
Yeah, he is their quarterback. I think they found the answer, and you know, hopefully one of these days they can get C.J. Spiller incorporated into the mix. They used the first-round pick on the kid when they had so many other needs. So hopefully it all comes together. They are a fun and exciting team to watch, but on the opposite end of the spectrum, Ross, we have the game of the week in many people's opinions. That would be the Green Bay Packers, 7-3, traveling into Atlanta where the Falcons are so dangerous at home, Matty Ice and them. But I got to say, the matchup inside the matchup that, you know, I'm going to be watching is Roddy White matching up against Rod Woodson.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. And this is the game of the day. I'll say San Diego, Indianapolis, game of the night. But this is the game of the day to me. Look, the Falcons are shaky defending the pass. And, you know, that's not good when Aaron Rodgers and his boys are coming for a visit to the Dome. To me, Greg Jennings is the stud. Look, I told you he'd have two touchdowns last week. I was wrong. He had three. He will not have another hat trick this week, but he will easily score in this game, as will Roddy White. These are two of the best receivers in the game, and they are going to be on display in this game. He's the co-stud in this one, Roddy White is. Look, Michael Turner proved what he could do when he gets a ton of carries. He had 28, and he busted a big gainer last week. But I'd be a little careful about what you expect from him this week. I think Green Bay is going to put lots of points up. I think they're going to defend Turner pretty well, so don't expect a repeat of last week. But Atlanta finally learned you can't give Michael Turner 15, 16, 17 carries. You got to keep feeding him the ball. He will bust one, as will most running backs when they're fed the ball that much. The dud this week, and I've gone to him in this category a lot, and he has unfortunately not let me down, that's Tony Gonzalez. To me, he just looks beat up. He's had his share of targets, but he only had four catches for 46 yards in that win last week for the Falcons. I would avoid him. I think he's in for another 40 to 50-yard day without finding the end zone. And look, Green Bay shut down Dustin Keller. They shut down DeSante Shenko. They're playing well against the tight ends of late, and Tony Gonzalez is not going to buck that trend. The sleeper, and I don't even know if you can call him a sleeper here, guys, but that's the Robin to Greg Jennings' Batman, and that's James Jones right now. He's going against a pretty bad pass defense, and even with Donald Driver back, James Jones scored last week, and I think he will do so again in this game. I think that this game will install the Packers as the co-favorites for the NFC with the Philadelphia Eagles as Green Bay finally hands Atlanta a home loss 27-26 in an absolute thriller.
Oh, okay. A little upset shocker somewhat. Rev, you care to weigh in on a prediction with this Packers at Falcons matchup?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a highly contested matchup. I think both teams are going to put points up on the board. But, you know, the way Green Bay is playing right now, Aaron Rodgers is just in his zone right now. I'm going to pick Green Bay here. You know, I love the way Greg Jennings is playing. I love the way that whole team, all those skill position guys are playing. I think that Aaron Rodgers right now, to me, he is the best quarterback in the league right now, hands down. And I predict Green Bay to win the Super Bowl this year.
Imagine if they had Finley.
Imagine that.
Well, I got to say, stored in my memory bank, I go back a couple weeks ago to when the Packers came into New Jersey and the Jets were coming off the bye week at the Meadowlands. The Packers came in and just completely shut the Jets down. They won that ball game 9-0. And you know what? I'm going to give the edge to the veteran team here. I say the Falcons are still young. They're going to learn from this one. I like the Packers on the road, going into Hotlanta, where the Falcons, like we said, they're tough to beat at home, but I think the Packers are going to pull this one out, and this is going to be a fun matchup to watch on Sunday. All right, guys. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. We are halfway through the show, 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. We previewed the Turkey Day games. If you didn't catch them live, this show will be archived immediately after the show and be available. You can still listen to it before the kickoff today. And we got some more questions coming into the chat room, so let's get over to them. Quarterback dilemma, you know, Mike Vick has been a man on fire, but, you know, he wasn't so spectacular against the Giants last week. This week, the Eagles are going into Chicago, where the Monsters of the Midway are sure to bring it. We'll preview that game later on in the show. But the question is, should he go with Mike Vick? Mumphrey this week wants to know, should he go with Mike Vick, or does he take Big Ben Roethlisberger against that Buffalo defense we just talked about? Let's start it off with Ross.
Yeah, it's an interesting dilemma here. I trust that the Bears defense took notes on what the Giants did, and that's primarily flush Vic to the right, you know, where he can't kill you. I'm going to go with Ben Roethlisberger in this game, guys. He looked pretty good to me last week, other than the flop he took when Richard Seymour slapped him. And I think the Steelers are going to have large amounts of passing yardage, and maybe all at once as he hits Mike Wallace a couple more times on deep balls and dump offs that Wallace takes to the house. I think it's close, but I'm actually going to go with Roethlisberger. I trust the Bears D to not contain him, but at least limit Michael Vick.
Yeah, you know, a little bit wary of Julius Peppers and the Chicago Bears defense against Michael Vick this week. Ralph, what's your diagnosis here, Mike Vick or Big Ben?
Yeah, as I was telling Mumphrey in the chat room, I like Big Ben. You know, Buffalo, to me, doesn't have the defense that Chicago has. The Bears can actually rush the passer. And, you know, maybe you're not big into stats, but, you know, the fact that the Bears have allowed only 6 passing touchdowns all year, that says something to me. So I think that Mike Vick, I think he's a good start, but I don't think he's – I don't like his matchup as much as I do Big Ben's matchup versus Buffalo this week. I'm going to go with Big Ben all the way here.
Yeah, and like we said, that Pittsburgh offense is clicking. You got the 60-minute man, Mike Wallace, the deep threat. You got Hines Ward underneath, the possession wideout. You got Emmanuel Sanders emerging as a big play talent. I like Big Ben this week as well. So this is one of those rare weeks they're going to put Mike Vick on the bench. And that Bears defense is mean and physical. And, you know, let's not forget Mike Vick has that rib problem. I'd be surprised if he makes it through this whole game in one piece. All right, guys. Next on the docket, we have going around the league so fast, I lost track. We got
Cleveland.
Yeah, we just did the Packers, Falcons, and Ralph is chomping at the bit to get into Carolina and Cleveland here, where we have a change at the helm. I think for both teams, correct me if I'm wrong, it looks like Jimmy Clausen will go for the Panthers 1-9, and Jake Delhomme makes his return for the Browns 3-7 with Colt McCoy all bandaged up.
Oh, yeah, a battle of the Titans at the quarterback position. But the stud here is going to be the Browns defense. Don't look at their season numbers. Look at what this group has done over the past 2 weeks. 6 sacks, 5 interceptions, 2 fumble recoveries, and a touchdown. This week they get a hopeless Carolina offense at home, and on the road, Carolina's offense is only averaging about 14 points per game. And if that weren't enough, the turnover machine, Jimmy Clausen, returns at quarterback. And did I mention that snow is in the forecast? The dud here is Steve Smith. This one-time deep threat has been reduced to a possession guy due to poor quarterback play and the team's inability to block the pass rush. To me, Steve Smith is useless at this point and should be dropped in most leagues. The sleeper here, and I know Jonathan Stewart is back, but I still like Mike Goodson. He's an elusive kid who can change directions. He's coming off consecutive 100-yard games, and you know he's going to get the touches. I think he's going to get more touches than Stewart this week since he's coming back from his concussion. Don't count on a touchdown from Mike Goodson. He may score, but probably won't. But he will get carries, and I think he'll make a fine number 3 running back this week. I love Cleveland in this game. I'm going to go Browns 23, Carolina 12.
Yeah, the Browns heavily favored in this matchup. You mentioned Mike Goodson, who has, you know, 45 touches, carries, and 220 rushing yards in his last 2 weeks. You know, we'll see what happens in this one. I had a really good question, but I forgot it. So I guess we will move on. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, Rick Sarasota, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, and, the snow. You mentioned snow, Ralph. And, a lot of times, fantasy football owners hear that word and they go into a frenzy, a panic, the weather, what's the weather factor. I mean, how much impact could it have on this game if it does indeed snow?
Well, I think it might have an impact just because, Carolina is more of a warm weather team. If this was, let's say, Pittsburgh going to Cleveland, I don't think it would have a big impact. But considering it's Carolina that's coming from the south going up north, to me, I think that does have a little bit of an impact. So I think, and especially when you consider Carolina already has issues moving the ball and scoring points, I think when you throw snow into the mix, I think that hurts their chances even more.
Russ, your take on the whole weather and snow dilemma, big impact, little impact, or middle of the road impact?
Well, the only weather that really has a severe impact is wind. Look, rain they can deal with, snow they can deal with, but when it gets windy and you can't trust where the ball is going, that's when it becomes a problem. And, especially in the, I'm talking passing game. In the running game, it depends how the surface handles the slickness. If the snow, makes everything slippery, you could change cleats. But, look, the elements aren't that big of a deal other than the weather to me. I think they're vastly overrated other than the wind.
I agree. I don't look too much into the weather.
So wait a
really
second. So you think a team that plays down south is not affected at all by snow or by cold weather at all?
Good point.
No, I really don't.
I don't think it helps. I can go back. I remember all those bad Tampa Bay Buccaneers teams that never wanted the cold weather.
How many games did they play in cold weather? Two a year? And how good were those teams?
I'm just saying it was a trend for them, year after year, going back into the 80s and 90s where they just couldn't win up north.
Well, they couldn't win much of anything anywhere.
Once the temperatures fell, below 30 degrees.
Nah, I think it's overrated.
I think it's overrated.
We shall see on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Shout out to Gil Bronx, who's now joined the chat room. He's got a question for us, and, he's got a wide receiver dilemma. He needs to pick three out of these guys on his roster, and it is a PPR league. And in addition, he gets those bonus points for kick return yardage, 25 points. Of kick return yardage equals one additional fantasy point. So, here's his dilemma. He has Mike Williams of Tampa Bay, Danny Amendola, Nate Burleson, Steve Breston, Malcolm Floyd, Blair White Project, and Reggie Bush. I guess there's a flex equation too. So, out of all these wide receivers, let's start it off with Ross. Which three are your money plays?
Yeah, I answered in the chat room, and for some reason I missed my man Mike Williams. You definitely have him in there. And I'd go with Burleson and Amendola. I'd go for the first three guys. I like Malcolm Floyd. I know he's a little gimped up. Definitely check the practice reports there as the week goes further because they do have a night game. But you got to put Mike Williams in there. I don't care that he's going against Baltimore. He's still going to get his 70 yards and a touchdown. He does it every week. And I like Amendola. He's going to have 8 or 9 catches at least to me. And Nate Burleson, as Rev mentioned before, coming on. So I think you're okay with those three guys. I don't trust Reggie Bush yet.
Yeah, Amendola, a good play, especially in those PPR leagues. And I think he does return some kicks as well. Let's let the Reverend weigh in. Ross went with Mike Williams, Nate Burleson, and Danny Amendola. Ralph, let me ask you, the other guys to choose from, Stevie Breston, Malcolm Floyd, and Blair White Project, and, of course, Reggie Bush, who makes his return this week. Are you on board with the roster, Domus, or are you going to mix it up a little bit?
Well, I think, actually, Ross didn't even go with Mike Williams. He went with Burleson, Floyd, Amendola. To me, I would definitely go with Floyd and Burleson. Of course, Checker Floyd does indeed play, but I think he will. But I'm definitely going to go with Floyd and Burleson. So to me, it comes down between, the third guy comes down between Williams and Stevie Breston, who I think is going to have a nice game this week on Monday Night Football. I'm going to go with Mike Williams just because the guy is money in the bank. I think he has a better chance of scoring than Steve Breston. So my three choices are going to be Floyd, Burleson, and Mike Williams from Tampa Bay.
Okay, back over to the chat room. Flex position, non-PPR, got a nice list of choices on his roster to choose from, just needs one of these guys. One of these guys. Tough, tough call. Ready? The law firm, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, LeGarrette Blount, Shady McCoy, who's seen his workload getting eaten into a little bit by Jerome Harrison, Stevie Johnson, there's that man again, on fire, Malcolm Floyd, Mike Williams of Tampa Bay, and Keelan Williams. Sounds like you've been listening to this show quite a bit, because these are a lot of guys we've recommended, you know, over the course of a few weeks. I'll say them one more time. You tell me which name stands out to you guys. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, LeGarrette Blount, Shady McCoy, Stevie Johnson, Malcolm Floyd, the Tampa Bay Mike Williams, or Keelan Williams. Reverend, which one are you rolling the dice with?
Well, I have to say, if he just has to pick one of these guys, and Go-Go Broncos has got a heck of a team, I think that, I don't know, I'm going to go with Mike Williams here just because of the consistency. He does it each and every week. He is the number one target there. He catches touchdowns. And, you know, the Ravens don't scare me in terms of their secondary, so I'm going to go with Mike Williams here.
Russ, care to weigh in?
Yeah, Rev, I'm surprised you didn't take your man the law firm, because that's who I'd go with this week. I like the matchup, and, you know, he's impressed me of late.
Yeah, I like him too. It was a tough call.
Yeah, I think, you know what, I'm going to say at this point of the stage of the game, I'd be a fool if I were to put Stevie Johnson on my bench. I got to find a way to get that guy in the lineup. And, you know, I just can't sit Stevie Johnson. He's been a favorite of mine. I picked him up in, like, week two or three, and he's paid huge dividends. So I love me some Stevie Johnson. All right, keeping it in the chat room, want to give a shout-out to YoGun27. Welcome to the chat. Newbie in the house wants to know, should I start Sean Hill versus the Pats or Matt Shaw versus the Titans, Ross?
Yeah, you know, look, Sean Hill's relatively inexperienced as far as, you know, being the man and stuff of that regard. I think he's going to have a decent day today, but something tells me that Mr. Belichick will do some things to confuse him a little bit. I think he and Matt Schaub are close this week. You know, the Titans' defense hasn't been all that impressive as far as I'm concerned, but I think I'm going to go with Matt Schaub here just by a little bit, because I like the fact that he's had some experience, he's had good games, and I just don't trust Sean Hill against someone as wily as Bill Belichick.
Yeah. Hey, one more question from the chat before we go over to the phone lines. Fifth Ward, Texas, another newbie to the show. Welcome to the chat. You know, that's why we kind of switch up that Thanksgiving time slot, open up to a whole new audience. Don't forget, we'll be back at a regular slotted time every Sunday, 8 to 10, for weeks 13 through 17. You can find us on the Fantasy Sports Channel, fsc.fm, or you can go to the nfldraftbible.com for the latest podcast information. But each and every Sunday, we'll be back at it again, 8 to 10, right here. So let's get one more question in from the chat room, then we'll go over to the phone lines. Fifth Ward, Texas, you know, Antonio Gates' dilemma, got burned by Randy McMichael last week. Ralph, he picked up Brandon Pettigrew and is leaning towards starting him. Good or bad move?
I think it's a great move. I like Brandon Pettigrew. I like him this week, and I like him for the rest of the season. Look, Sean Hill is not the same quarterback that Matt Stafford is. He doesn't have that same arm. And as a result, he looks for his tight end quite often. And Brandon Pettigrew has been playing very, very well. He's outplayed Tony Scheffler, and now Tony Scheffler is banged up. To compound things. So I think that going forward, I think Brandon Pettigrew is the man there. And, you know, the fact that he has a couple of receivers that are also playing well is also going to help Pettigrew get open across the middle. He's just a big physical guy with great hands. I think the quarterback, Sean Hill, is very, very comfortable putting the ball in the hands of Brandon Pettigrew.
I agree. Brandon Pettigrew coming on strong and definitely a fantasy football factor here in week number 12. All right, Fantasy Football Insiders radio show, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. It's time to go over to the phone line, and one of our regulars checking in. Go ahead, you can find us here on this Turkey Day extravaganza, 313 on the line. What's on your mind for week number 12?
Hey, what's up, fellas? It's good to be off on a weekday, ain't it?
Yeah, you got that right.
Sure. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Appreciate it. Two quick questions. The first one is, I'm looking at this Geddes kid. He had a big week last week, And Cleveland, they will give up. They'll give up some big plays. They like to squeeze you and blitz sometime. But I'm trying to see if I should start him over James Jones this week.
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, Ross has been tooting that James Jones bandwagon for quite a while. But I want to start off with the Reverend because, Ralph, the interesting thing here is that Eric Wright, the Browns' top corner, is going to be matched up on Steve Smith, obviously. That means Geddes, the undrafted rookie, is going to be getting either a dose of Joe Hayden or the other incompetent cornerback Cleveland has on their roster. His name is slipping my mind. He had a big, big week, Geddes. Was that a flash in the pan or a sign of things to come? Do you like Geddes or James Jones? We're going to start with the Reverend.
Absolutely. Geddes is a guy who's coming on. He can make some big plays. He's a big player. But I don't want anybody from that Carolina offense on my team. I usually go with the guy that gives me the best chance of scoring points, and that's James Jones. I think that Green Bay is going to score a lot of points, and James Jones is playing with the best quarterback in the NFL, bar none right now, in Aaron Rodgers. I can't go against James Jones, and I'm definitely not playing anybody from the Carolina Panthers over James Jones.
Ross?
Well, to me, it breaks down like this. If you're confident that your fantasy team is going to have a solid week, then you put James Jones in there without question. But if you think you're going to need help and you need to roll the dice and hope for a hard eight, then I think you go with the potential of the big play of Geddes. He's more likely to get loose for another, you know, 60, 70-yard play. But just remember, he had two catches last week, one of which was for 88 yards and a touchdown. That's great. But in the other two games before that, he's had three catches and two catches. So you're not really looking at a lot more than a gamble here. But if you need to take a gamble, you know, if you think you're going to need to do something special to win your matchup, I would actually go with Geddes. But if not, go with Jones.
Well, there you have it from Ross. And I'm gonna kind of echo those thoughts. I think James Jones is the safe play. But like I said, because of Geddes' matchup, I think he has more upside, but it's more of like a boom or bust type of play. So it depends on whether you're in a gambling mood or not. If you want to play conservative, I think James Jones is the way to go. But if you're hoping for a big bang play or a big bang theory, they like to call it, I think Geddes offers a lot of upside here.
Exactly, and that was my issue. But I'm going to go with the for sure seven as opposed to shooting for double digits this week.
There you go.
And I got one more. It's a little bit lighter. This is a little bit lighter in content, and so you got to cover all your bases. It's the end. It's getting close to playoff time, and I've made a decision that I'm leaning close to starting Cleveland's defense this week. It sounds crazy.
Absolutely, not crazy at all.
That's a great move. You know, I picked up Cleveland last week on Sunday morning and throw them in there. They scored 22 fantasy points for me in the Yahoo League, and I'm keeping them in there again this week because they have a great matchup, and they're going up against Jimmy Clausen, a rookie quarterback. So I could see some sacks. I could see some interceptions. In fact, you know, I actually think that Cleveland defense might actually be the best defense in terms of fantasy value for week number 12. Call me crazy, but I'm on board with it.
I agree. And if you look at Cleveland's schedule after this week, they only have one tough matchup versus Baltimore in week 16. So even if you want to keep them as a second defense for the rest of the season, I think that's not a bad idea. And as far as this week is concerned, Cleveland is my top defense.
I agree.
Yeah, a lot of times got those boys playing some stingy defense, man.
Okay. All right, fellas, you enjoy your holiday. I appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah, you too. Enjoy it. Say hello to the little one. Enjoy the Thanksgiving holidays. Make sure you have a lot of good food. And, yeah, that Cleveland defense is coming on. Rob Ryan taking a page out of Rex Ryan's playbook and just has those Browns defense really playing strong. And against a rookie quarterback, we definitely love that matchup. All right, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. Always good to hear from 313. He's a regular. Always appreciate him dialing in. We're going to go back over to the chat room now where things are starting to liven up a little bit. People waking up, getting their turkey on. Kevin Boss or Tony Gonzalez? Nikki the Bull, good to see you in the chat room. Let's go over to Ross, who's a Boss hater.
I don't like either one this week, but you know, if you're going to make me pick one, I'm actually going to go with Gonzalez.
All right. Well, let's ask. We got another question. You like Boss or Gonzalez, Ralph?
I'm going to go with Gonzalez myself.
Okay. Another Tony Gonzalez question from Go Bronx. Tony Gonzalez or Mercedes Lewis? We'll start this one off with Ralph.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mercedes Lewis. I mean, this guy, you look at him and there's nothing really that impressive about him, but he's big. You know, you can't take the guy down. He looks like a giant out there. And as a result, he scores a lot of touchdowns, and David Garrard looks his way a lot in the red zone. So I'm going to go with Mercedes Lewis, a.k.a. the Jolly Green Giant.
Ross, Tony Gonzalez or Mercedes going up against your boys, the G-Men, this week?
Yeah, I definitely see Lewis as being the one to start, primarily because he's going to be the go-to target inside the red zone for the Jags.
Okay, sticking in the chat room, another quarterback dilemma, guys. Here's Mike Vick's situation again. We already mentioned it earlier in the show. Has a tough matchup against the monsters of the Midway, the Chicago Bears. Does he play Mike Vick, Eli Manning, or Sean Hill? Ross.
Boy, it's hard for me to not play Michael Vick. I think I got to go with him, even though the matchup might be a little difficult. I could see him having a similar game to that which he had against the Giants, you know, a couple hundred yards. I think he will throw a touchdown pass, but probably run. I think he'll have two touchdowns total, we'll put it that way. I like Hill, but I'm fearful of his mistakes, so I'm going to go with Vic. I don't like Eli out of the three, though.
Wow. Vic, Eli, or Sean Hill, Ralph?
I think, you know what, I like Vic, but I might go with Sean Hill just because all they do in Detroit is throw the ball. They have no running game whatsoever. And I do understand what Ross is saying. He might make some mistakes against that Bill Belichick defense, but you also have to take into account that defense has a very young secondary, a secondary that's very vulnerable to the big play. And I think just because of that and just because of the fact that Sean Hill puts the ball in the air so much, I think by the sheer volume of the time that he puts the ball up in the air, I'm probably going to go with Sean Hill. I think he's going to put up a lot of yards, even if he does throw a couple of interceptions.
That's so hard
I got to say, I made my coffee this morning, and it was a strong brew, and the coffee spoke back to me. He said there might be a Detroit upset brewing this week. Or this today in the Turkey Day upset. I smell an upset brewing, and as much as I love Eli Manning, who I'm riding this week, I rode him to the championship last year. I got Eli Manning on my team again this year, but I think Sean Hill and those Detroit Lions are going to give the Patriots a run for their money. I see at least two, maybe three touchdowns from Sean Hill, and maybe, just maybe, the Lions pulling the upset special of the week. All right. YoGun27, another question coming in from him. Love the newbies chiming in. Always appreciate it. He has Vincent Jackson or Mike Williams. This is a two-part question. We'll take them one at a time. Vincent Jackson or Mike Williams from Tampa Bay. Ralph.
This is a tough question. You know, Mike Williams is a guy that you start every week. He's just been so darn consistent. And I think he's got a good matchup versus that Baltimore secondary that's very mistake-prone. But Vincent Jackson is a guy that's looked good in practice, and he is going to be involved in a matchup where there are going to be a lot of points scored, and the ball's going to be thrown all over the lot. I know that, you know, you always have that little bit of a risk where, you know, Vincent Jackson could come back and pull a hamstring or something because he hasn't played in so long, but he has practiced a lot, and he is healthy. I like the upside potential of Vincent Jackson here and the rest of that San Diego team going up versus Indy. And would I start him over Bradshaw? Yeah, I think I would. I know that Indy-San Diego game is going to be the fantasy game of the week. I would go with Vincent Jackson.
Wow, I'm shocked because you know what? No way. There's just no chance. You know, it's almost been a whole year since Vincent Jackson's played some NFL football. I don't care who you are, what kind of shape you stay in, nothing compares to playing against NFL caliber players on a week in and week out basis. So I'm going to go over to Ross Radamus and get his opinion on this one. Do you like Vincent Jackson or Mike Williams?
Yeah, you know, to be honest with you, I think you're six of one, half dozen of the other here. Mike Williams, you know, he's very consistent, but he never has, like, the giant 7 or 8 catch game. He's always good for 4 catches. And I think that's exactly what Vincent Jackson's going to do. I worry about his timing, but I still think with Phillip Rivers thrown him the ball. He's good for, what, 5 catches, 70 yards, and a touchdown. And I think that's about what Mike Williams is sure to do. Jackson might do less than that. He might do more than that. But I think the safer play here, you know what you're going to get with Mike Williams. You're going to get 4 catches, 70 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, and not only that, you know, Vincent Jackson, his first game back, you don't know how many snaps this guy is going to even play. He might only play 15, 25 snaps.
Ah, come on.
He knows the offense very well. With Revis, he comes back, he pulls a hamstring. I've been down this road before. I've seen it one too many times. These guys hold out. They come back and get injured right away.
This guy's been practicing for weeks now. He knows the offense. He has a good chemistry with Philip Rivers already.
He hasn't been in the heat. He hasn't been in the action. He hasn't been in the limelight. He's been playing in practice. We're talking about practice. This guy hasn't seen a real game in over a year.
They're not rushing him back. They're not. He's been with the team. He's been on the active roster now for weeks now.
Okay. I'm just going to tell you, don't get burnt when you play Vincent Jackson this week and this guy pulls a hammy on the first play of the game. The second part to his question becomes, since you guys both feel Vincent Jackson is the better fantasy player, the second part to his question is, you know, he's got Ahmad Bradshaw currently in his flex position. Does he then turn around and start Mike Williams over Ahmad Bradshaw in the flex, Ross?
Absolutely not. I think Bradshaw is going to have his usual set of touches. And look, you know, as I said, I only see Williams getting 4 grabs and 70 yards and, you know, a touchdown, but I think Bradshaw's upside is a lot more. I see him still being over 100 yards, and I think he will score in this game. So I got to go with the running back here. He's going to have a lot more opportunity to me.
Yeah, I think Bradshaw offers more value than V-Jax and Mike Williams. I'm sure the Reverend agrees. Let's go over to our good friend PC Keene in the chat room, another one of our regulars. Always good to see him. Joe Flacco or Mark Sanchez this week, Reverend?
Flacco or Sanchez? That's another great question. You know something? I think I'm going to go with Sanchez this week, and I normally wouldn't do that, but I just love Sanchez's matchup versus a very, let's just face it, a dead Cincinnati team that has nothing to offer. It's banged up in the secondary, and I just love Sanchez's weapons between Braylon Edwards and Santonio Holmes. I think he's going to get Dustin Keller into the mix this week. And he's got LaDainian Tomlinson as his safety valve. Man, I just love Mark Sanchez this week.
Sanchez or Flacco, Ross?
I'm going with Mark Sanchez, although it is difficult to go against Flacco at home. I just think, as the Rev mentioned, it's all about the matchup to me. And I think Tampa Bay is going to be busting their rear ends to play in this game. And I think Cincinnati's checked out. I think they're D-U-N done.
All right, there you have it, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini going to Ram League. And we've got about 30 minutes to go, a few more game matchups to preview, so let's do it. Get right into it with some 4 o'clock games. We've got the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday, 6-4, traveling into the Seattle Seahawks, 5-5, facing our good friend Pete Carroll. And, you know, the Chiefs have been the story, you know, two tales. 5-0 at home, 1-4 on the road. Seattle's been pretty streaky this year. So what do you have for us in this matchup, Ross?
Well, as you know, Rick, Missouri is the show-me state, Kansas City, Missouri. You need to show me something in this game. You got to show me you can win on the road, and I think that they will. And you know why? Because of Dwayne Bowe on fire. Seattle's defense, 30th against the pass. And look, man, you can deny or you can accept, and you got to accept it. Bowe has scored 6 games in a row. That is not to be sneezed at by anyone in fantasy land. He's going to have 100 yards. He's going to find the end zone. I love Dwayne Bowe in this game. He is the stud. I think Thomas Jones and Jamal Charles are going to divvy up 150 rushing yards. Each could score. Matt Cassel going to do it, 250 and a couple of touchdowns. But Dwayne Bowe is the stud in this game. The dud in this game, and I think we'll all agree, is Marshawn Lynch. I mean, this guy has been clowning it up in Seattle. Benched after 2 fumbles. He wasn't playing poorly. He only had 7 carries. But look, I don't think Pete Carroll trusts him. I don't think you should trust him. He's not going to get it done in this game against the Chiefs. To me, the sleeper in this game, you know, Big Mike Williams, the BMW, a little bit of tuning in this game. He's not 100% healthy if he goes. And that's Ben Obomanu, baby. 5 catches for 87 yards and a touchdown last week. And a couple of those grabs were against Jabari Greer, who I rate very highly. As I said, BMW is hurt. He's banged up. He's going to be and Obomanu is going to be targeted plenty in the passing game for Seattle. So I think you definitely start him if you have him and you need a third receiver in your league. A guy you want to keep an eye on going down the line here is Rev's guy, Golden Tate. I think he's going to return, be the number two or even the number one guy if BMW is seriously injured with that foot. No one knows what's going on there. I think Golden Tate is a good guy to have down the stretch run. A couple of Seattle receivers for you under the radar there, and Obomanu and Golden Tate down the line. I think Kansas City wins this game, gets in the win column on the road other than their first week win over the Cleveland Browns. I think they win this game 24-16, and Seattle takes a hit in the NFC West.
All right, there you have it. The NFC West, the division that nobody wants to win. But, yeah, your boy Obomanu, you know, been making some hay, 5 catches, 87 yards, and a touchdown last week. I think he's officially now passed Deion Butler on the depth chart. And like you said, with BMW ailing, Obomanu, go run out to the waiver wire and check and see. There's a good chance he may be sitting right there ready for you to pluck in for your flex position injury. Fill in Obomanu of Seattle, 1 week flash in the pan, make it 2 weeks in a row. I like it. All right, guys, let's talk about this Miami Dolphins at Oakland Raiders matchup. You know, these two teams hanging on by a string to their playoff hopes. Both teams 5-5. We saw, you know, the Raiders travel across the country and get whooped by the Steelers last week. Now a little bit of a role reversal. Dolphins are going to make that cross-country trek into the black hole with the Raiders. 5-5, taking on the Dolphins 5-5. To break it all down for you, the good Reverend Ralph Mancini.
Yeah, Miami at Oakland. This one's going to be the snoozer of the week. I would look to avoid starting anybody not named Darren McFadden in this coma-inducing affair. The stud here is, in fact, Darren McFadden. D-Mac had a forgettable game versus Pittsburgh last week, but he only had 10 carries all game. The coaching staff is aware that their feature back needs to get 20 touches in order for Oakland to win. Miami, unlike Pittsburgh, has a middle-of-the-road run defense, and both Matt Forte and Chris Johnson had no problems gaining yards on them in their last two games. The dud here is Brandon Marshall. He hurt his hamstring last week. He didn't practice on Wednesday. He looks very doubtful at this point. His latest injury may be one that lingers for weeks. The sleeper here is our old buddy Ricky Williams. He's been highly inconsistent, but the Raiders haven't been strong versus the run for years now. They're allowing 4.6 yards per carry, and with Tyler Thigpen at quarterback for Miami, you can expect the Dolphins to look to establish their running game on the road in what should be a low-scoring contest. I do like Oakland in this one, 19-16 over the floundering Fish.
Yeah, and I'm just going to give a word to the wise, whoever the Dolphins quarterback is, whether it's Tyler Thigpen or Chad Henne, when you see Richard Seymour coming this week, boy, you better duck and run or duck and chuck. All right, guys. Nobody's got enough money except myself. All right, a delayed laugh there from the Reverend. All right, going over to the room real quick, guys. I think this one's a no-brainer. Tight end question, Jacob Tammy, Zach Miller, or Joel Dreesen in the PPR. I think this one's clear, Jacob Tammy. You guys agree?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, let's go over to PC Keen in the chat. Non-PPR flex needs one of these guys, Santana Moss, LeGarrette Blount, Lance Moore, Reggie Bush, or Malcolm Floyd. A bunch of streaky individuals, Ross, I might say. Santana Moss, LeGarrette Blount, Lance Moore, Reggie Bush, Malcolm Floyd. Who do you like?
Well, I mean, I've been calling on him this year, and he's done me good. And Santana Moss, if he's healthy, I think is the play here.
Yeah, I think with Cadillac back in the mix in Tampa Bay, Santana Moss is the guy that sticks out here.
Not for me. I'm going with Floyd.
Okay.
If he's healthy and ready to go, I'm going with Floyd with Philip Rivers throwing him the football.
All right, I can't argue. I mean, listen, the floor's a little banged up, but the Chargers are going to be airing it out, so I can see your point there, Rev. You know, you could go either way. I like Moss, you like Floyd. It's a close one. But you did just preview the Dolphins and Raiders matchup, and Mumphrey wants to know, how about starting the Raiders defense this week, Rev? Where do you have them ranked?
I don't think they're a bad play. I think they're a top 10 defense this week. I mean, the Dolphins, they have nothing on offense, especially if Brandon Marshall doesn't suit up. I mean, this team's got no juice, man. They're boring to watch. They're not going to do much of anything. Yeah, I would definitely go with Oakland this week.
Yeah, and as Ross mentioned in the chat room, no Brandon Marshall, so that's always a plus as well. Beanballs, 10, welcome to the show. Another newbie in the chat room. Love to see some newbies. So he's got a big, big dilemma here. Needs some help at the running back spot. And, you know, a lot of different scenarios or angles he can go with. He has Brandon Jacobs and Freddie Jackson on his roster. So, you know, we mentioned Freddie Jackson has a terrible matchup. So Brandon Jacobs is actually might be a good play. But let's delve a little deeper because on his waiver wire, it's the little big man, Danny Woodhead, he has. Also on the waiver wire, Darren Sproles and Mike Goodson, in addition to both Miami running backs, Ricky Williams and Ronnie Brown. It's a PPR league. He wants to know what to do, Ralph. I'll recap it for you. Currently, he has Brandon Jacobs and Freddie Jackson. On the waiver wire is Danny Woodhead, Darren Sproles, Mike Goodson, and the Miami running backs. It's a PPR league. Let's help out our good friend Beanballs 10. What do you say, Ralph?
All right, Beanie, what I would do here is I would go with Woodhead. This kid has been coming on. He is both running the ball and catching the ball. You know, what I like about Woodhead is he's so small that the defense can't see him a lot of times. So he kind of runs a little bit like Dave Meggett, where he's hiding behind that offensive line, and then all of a sudden, bam, he just explodes on you. So I'm going to go with Mr. Woodhead here.
Yeah, over 500 total yards for Mr. Woodhead. And it sounds like he needs two running backs here, Ralph. So if you have to pick another, Brandon
okay.
Jacobs, Freddie Jackson, or the Miami guys, or Mike Goodson, who do you like as a number two?
Well, you know, in that case, look, I like Goodson this week, but I don't like his matchup, and I don't like his offense, and James Stewart's coming back. In that case, I would probably pick up one of the Miami running backs, you know, Ronnie Brown or Ricky Williams, probably Ronnie Brown. And I wouldn't expect too much out of him, and I wouldn't expect too much out of Goodson either. I would say I'd probably go with Ronnie Brown, probably.
Okay. Any two sticking out to you, Ross?
Those are the same two I'd start. I like Ronnie Brown a lot this week. I know he hasn't done much lately, but he's been rested. He's got to be ready to roll. They're going to run the ball more with that quarterback situation and no Brandon Marshall, and Oakland's D is exactly what you want when you're going to run the ball. So I like him, and hard not to like Woodhead. You know, rushing or receiving, I see him approaching 100 yards this week.
Okay, so there you have it. Despite Brandon Jacobs getting the start, you know, look for the same numbers, even though the starting roles have reversed, look for the numbers to be about the same in the New York Giants backfield. So, Dean Balls, there you have it. Consensus pick, Woodhead and Ronnie Brown. Okay, over to Nikki the Bull in the chat. Good to see Nikki the Bull. He has a running back dilemma as well. He needs to pick two of these guys for his running backs and then also one flex play out of this whole swath of players. LeGarrette Blount, Brandon Jacobs, Sean Green, Brandon Jackson, Felix Jones, Maurice Morris, and then he's got, from the receiver standpoint, Blair White, Mike Thomas, and Malcolm Floyd. So just to recap, he needs two running backs, Ross, and one flex out of these guys. LeGarrette Blount, Brandon Jacobs, Sean Green, Brandon Jackson, Felix Jones, Maurice Morris at running back, Blair White, Mike Thomas, Malcolm Floyd at wide receiver. Give me two running backs and give me one flex.
All right, here we go. I'm going with LeGarrette Blount. I don't love the matchup, but I think he finds the end zone. I'm going with Brandon Jackson because I do love the matchup. I think there's going to be a lot of room for him to succeed in that game. And for your flex, I go with Malcolm Floyd just because I'm not buying into Vincent Jackson, and I love me some Phillip Rivers.
All right, Rev, talk to me here. Give me two running backs and a flex.
Nikki DeBull out of the Witness Protection Program. Here are your picks. I want to go with Sean Green here. I'm going to go with Brandon Jackson as the running backs. I think both of them are going to have fine days. Jackson in a great offense, Sean Green going up against a decimated Cincinnati defense. As far as the flex goes, I'm going to go with Malcolm Floyd here. He's playing with Phillip Rivers in a matchup that should feature a lot of points there. I also like Blair White, but I'm going to take Floyd over White. So it's going to be Sean Green, Brandon Jackson, and Malcolm Floyd for me.
All right, there you have it, Nicky the Bull. Always good to see you. JoJo in the chat wants to know, Ross, PPR at running back, Matt Forte or LeGarrette Blount?
Wow. I think you're looking at similar numbers here, but I'm going to go with LeGarrette Blount just because Forte has not really put together much of anything this season. And that Philly defense, man, I think they're playing really
well. Yeah, a nice game last week.
Yeah, but, you know, let's see it on a more consistent basis. I think you're looking at two guys who are going to have 70 yards and may find the end zone, but I'm going to go with Blount.
Okay, you know, I'm a little hesitant just because Cadillac has been back in the mix lately in Tampa Bay, so you never know what you're going to get with Blount. I think Forte, you know, he's good for about 15, 20 touches there in Chicago.
I agree. I'll go with Forte myself. You know, Philadelphia's defense is not very big. I think he can gain some yards there. And the thing that Forte does that Blount doesn't do is he actually catches a few passes also.
All right, let's keep it moving. Go Blount wants to know, needs two non-PPR, two out of the three, Ralph, Ricky Williams, Danny Woodhead, and LeSean McCoy, which one are you putting on your bench?
Yeah, all three are pretty good choices here. I do like Ricky Williams as a sleeper, but since you do have already McCoy and Woodhead, I can't bench either one of those two guys, so I'm going to go with Woodhead and McCoy.
You're on board with that logic, Ross?
I am on board with that. I think this is a Ronnie Brown week, not a Ricky Williams week.
Okay. PC Keen wants to know, he said he never thought he'd be asking this, but two-quarterback league and his second quarterback decision is coming down to Carson Palmer or Rusty Smith. What do you got there, Ross?
Yeah, I mean, as anyone who's listened to the show will know, I'm not a huge Carson Palmer fan, but look, to me, this is a perfect situation for him to do what he's done all year, and that is rack up some decent fantasy points when his team is getting blown out. And that is exactly what's going to happen today. They're going to be playing catch-up the whole second half. He's going to have some decent fantasy numbers. And, look, I think Rusty Smith has a great opportunity here against a really lousy passing defense. But if Kenny Britt were in there, maybe, but he's not going to be. So I got to go with Carson Palmer here.
Yeah, I think Palmer – I think the Bengals are going to put some points on the board. I think Palmer's going to throw some interceptions, but I think he's going to have his share of touchdowns too. I'd say two or three touchdowns for Palmer. I think it's going to be higher scoring than people think. What's your take, Rev? You're going to go with Carson Palmer, or are you going to go with the unknown commodity and Rusty Smith over there in Tennessee?
Well, that's just the thing. You know, what do you have in Rusty Smith? He is an unknown commodity. I mean, you know, last week when he came in, it looked like he could have gotten intercepted a few times. So, you know, you just sit back and watch Rusty Smith. You know, let him prove to you that he is worthy of a start. Palmer's no great shakes either, but you got to like him a little bit better than Rusty Smith.
All right. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. Rick Tarantella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini going around the league. Bringing it down for the people. Break it down for you now. Going all around the league. Fantasy Stud Dozen Sleepers. Got a couple more matchups for you here. And the Rams, 4-6 on the road for the second straight week. They went into Atlanta last week and got embarrassed by the Falcons 34-17. Now they travel into Denver, where they also are 4-6. So why don't you break this one down for the people, Ross?
Interesting. Look, to me, the stud in this game is going to be Steven Jackson. Denver, 31st against the run, allowing 144 yards a game and 4.4 yards a carry. They've given up 15 touchdowns on the ground. You got to love any running back here. And I love Steven Jackson. And it's important to note to me that this guy produces more when he is off the turf, and that means away from home. His best performances have been on the road. He's on the road this week. Denver's defense, not very stout. Look, they haven't been riding him lately, but I think this week, going against such a poor run defense, they will, and that's the bottom line. I think Kyle Orton is also going to rebound after a shaky outing on Monday night. I think, look, Brandon Lloyd, it's time to just throw him in there and not worry about it. Over 1,000 yards, he should also be in there on a weekly basis. I think the duds in this game are the second two Denver wide receivers, Jabari Gaffney and Eddie Royal. Gaffney just has not been putting up numbers to rely on, and Eddie Royal looked gimpy to me. Neither was a factor Monday night, and they're just plain too inconsistent to be trusted on your fantasy team at this point. I'd rather use Rev's guy, back from the dead, Laurent Robinson. He had 11 targets last week. That should not be overlooked. He had 5 catches for 55 yards. He's getting healthier. The timing's coming back. I think if he's available in your league, he is certainly worth a pickup. Guys, I'm going with the upset here. I like the Rams to pull out a road win 24-20 over Rick's Broncos.
All right. Over my Broncos or your Broncos?
Your boy. Come on now.
All right, guys. Before we go over to the chat room, let's get a couple more games in. We got the Eagles and the Bears. We've been talking about it. Big time NFC matchup. The Bears are here to stay with a very stingy defense and offense led by Mike Martz. Both teams 7-3, Reverend. Break it down.
Okay, well, I like, believe it or not, Greg Olsen here as a stud. He scored in 2 of his last 3 games, and he's tied for the team lead in targets over that stretch with 20. The Eagles are giving up the 4th most fantasy points to tight ends. Greg Olsen's looking better out there. He's adjusting to poorly thrown balls. The kid's looking like a stud lately, so Greg Olsen is a stud. And also, I think LeSean McCoy is a stud here, too. Look, the Bears are stingy when it comes to giving up rushing and receiving yards to running backs. Deshaun Jackson and Jeremy Maclin on the outside as those speed threats, along with Michael Vick's cannon left arm, I think that's going to prevent Chicago's defenders from stacking the box. So although McCoy might not go off and go crazy, I think he's going to put together some nice carries, and I think he'll end up having a productive fantasy day. The dud here is Jay Cutler. The Bears are a hot team, but Cutler's numbers have been pedestrian during the team's run of success. He has 5 touchdowns and 4 turnovers in the last 3 weeks. A poor offensive line will expose Cutler to an angry, blitz-happy Philly defense. I think right now Jay Cutler is a matchup's quarterback, and the matchup is not too good this week, so keep Cutler on the bench. The sleeper here, I'm reaching deep. I'm going to give you a deep sleeper, and that's Jason Avant. Look for Chicago to limit Deshaun Jackson and Jeremy Maclin to an extent with the cover 2 scheme that they use, leaving the middle open for Avant, who is a shorthanded receiver. He's being targeted quite often in the red zone. And let's face it, Philly does not throw the ball to their tight end anymore. They don't throw the ball to Brent Celek. Jason Avant, for all intent and purposes, is their tight end. So I think he's a decent play in a deep league. I'm going to go with Philly here, 24-20 over Chicago.
Oh, Philly on the road. You got a prediction, Ross?
I echo the Reverend's sentiments. I think Philadelphia wins, but I think it's by a bit more. I got Philly 27, Chicago 19.
It's going to be a fun matchup to watch to see how Mike Vick bounces back after facing a tough Giants defense. Like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't make it out of this game in one piece. Definitely something to watch for. Another game to watch for is Tampa Bay. How about them Bucks? Break up the Bucks, 7-3, traveling into Baltimore, 7-3. And Ross, I got to say, our boy, Pride of Irvington, Raheem Morris, pulled the wool over my eyes. I didn't think this guy was a legitimate NFL head coach. I got to say now that he definitely deserves some NFL Coach of the Year consideration.
Yeah, I think right now he does, but I'm not completely sold on Tampa Bay yet. But then again, we're fighting for a wild card here with 2 damaged teams and the Giants in Chicago. So, you know, nobody's perfect, and why not them? I think that's their attitude. Look, Ray Rice is going to go off. Tampa Bay's run defense giving up 137 yards a game and 4.8 yards a carry. This is going to be Ray's chance to shine. And it's worth mentioning, guys, last week it was Ray Rice who got the goal line carry, not Willis McGahee. So to me, that's a good sign for you Ray Rice owners who have endured a pretty disappointing season from the Rutgers man. He's had 3 weeks of more than 100 yards of total offense. I think you can make it 4 this week at home. The dud to me, we all love him, we've all had him, and we've all used him this year, but this is not the week to use Josh Freeman. It's a tough matchup. Look, you know, on the road against a defense that's got to be feeling a lot better about itself. Got back a little of the swagger last week, albeit against Carolina. There's just too many other quarterback options out there, and I could see Freeman easily throwing two or three picks in addition to a pick six. This is not a guy you want to start in week 12. Stay away. The sleeper, if you can call him that, he has awakened and managed to stay healthy this season relatively, and that is Todd Heap. He had five grabs for 69 yards and a touchdown week before against Tampa's D. There's lots of room in that middle of the field against that coveted Tampa cover two defense there. So I think Heap will have a lot of room to roam, and he will find the end zone this week, as will the Ravens plenty of times. Baltimore wins it 31-16.
Wow. Rostradamus saying the Ravens win rather easily. Ralph, just a prediction, Tampa Bay at Baltimore.
I think it's going to be a little bit closer than that. I could see the Ravens winning 27-17.
All right, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. Time to go over to the phone line, 707, you're on the line. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys, I got a little unusual question for you. First of all, concerning salary cap, I'm looking at Antonio Holmes or Vince Jackson. Who do you guys like? I kind of really like Vince Jackson myself. I'm kind of against you guys just because there's no receivers healthy, and the tight end is not healthy. So Vince Jackson has to play, and he's going to have to step up.
I'm a big Vince Jackson fan this week.
I got to know, is this, you said a salary cap. Is this for 1 week only, or is this for the rest of the season moving forward?
It's kind of tricky because if you get any of your gains, you cannot retain your gains. So he goes up to $6.7 million. He gains $3.3 million. You sell them, you lose that $0.3 million.
Gotcha. I'm very familiar with this format. On board with it. Okay, so let's take it. Rev, go ahead. You were chomping at the bit to chime in there.
No, I was just going to say, I'm a big Vince Jackson fan this week, but, look, you got to go with the hot hand, and the hot hand is Santonio Holmes. This guy gets it done each and every week. I mean, if it wasn't for Santonio Holmes, I mean, the Jets would be in a little bit of trouble right now, so I'm going to keep going with Santonio Holmes as much as I do like Vincent Jackson.
Well, I think because of the salary cap dilemma, I'm sure Vincent Jackson's salary is pretty low right now, and if he has a big week, you're going to gain that salary cap, like you said, if you sell him off. So I think Vincent Jackson has the more upside. I think if you are in a good standings, you know, good spot in the standings, I think maybe you actually take a risk here with Vincent Jackson, even though I think Santonio Holmes is going to have the bigger week this week. I think you're going to gain in that salary cap equation that I have played this format. It's a little tricky. Ross, I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but who like Holmes or Vincent Jackson?
Yeah, I love Santonio Holmes today, and I'm not. I got to wait and see. I need Jackson to get a game or two under his belt to get that timing back, and you can't bet against Santonio Holmes. The man's been a menace.
Yeah.
All right, there you have it, 707.
Yeah, I know. My question is Phil Rivers or what's his name? Sanchez. I'm afraid the Jets are going to get up and they're going to run is what I'm afraid of. But, yeah, I understand what you guys are saying. Real quick, what do you guys think about Ivory or Felix Jones or Woodhead? I could drop. Best for either Ivory or Woodhead. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I would definitely drop Best. Just one last point on Sanchez. You know, the Bengals secondary is really banged up this week. But I would definitely drop Javi Best. The question becomes Ivory or Woodhead. I like Woodhead, but I'll take a deep breath, pass it to the left. Go ahead, Rev.
You know something? For this week, I might like Ivory a little bit more, but for the rest of the season, I would go with Woodhead.
Russ?
Yeah, I think Ivory is going to have a reduced role going forward, so I would have to go with Woodhead as well.
Okay. Hey, what are you guys thinking of Manningham this week, too? He's another one right around that salary cap. He's a little bit lower than those guys. Mario Manningham, do you think he, you know, what do you think about that one,
Ross, you're our residential Giants guru. Why don't you weigh in there?
Yeah, I think if you can save some money and take Mario Manningham, I think he hits 100 yards and a touchdown this week from Eli Manning. So I think if you can save a decent amount of money, I would go with Manningham.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the great advice, and happy holidays.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you, 707. Appreciate the phone call. Make sure you check us out on Sundays, starting week 13 for the rest of the way on Sundays, 8 to 10. NFLDraftBible.com, All Access Football, FSC.FM. Either way, you can find us. All right, guys, we've got about 5 minutes. Let's get our last two games in, and then we'll bring it home with the chat room questions. Ralph, I know you've been waiting all week to break down this Chargers and Colts matchup. Take it away.
Absolutely. I love Mike Tolbert in this game. He's my stud. He's wide. He's boxy. He's built like a lunchbox, but the guy's got some burst. He banged his way to 111 yards in a touchdown versus Denver last week on Monday Night Football. Watch him do the same versus a small Indianapolis defense. Vincent Jackson, believe it or not, is also a stud for me. He looked great in workouts and shouldn't take long for him to get back into the swing of things. The dud here is Antonio Gates. He wasn't close to playing on Monday with his foot problems and will have a hard time blocking the pain in his feet this week. I don't see a comeback in the offing here, not this week. Javaris James is another dud. He seems to be taking a back seat to Donald Brown. And the sleeper here is Blair White. Blair White is no longer a project. He knows how to play the slot. Manning loves to throw it over the middle. Don't be surprised to see him score again. He's a hard worker and a smart guy. A lot of points to be had in this one. I love Indianapolis, 38-34 over San Diego.
All right, there you have it. Bring it on home, Russ. I guess some genius over at ESPN thought this would be a great Monday night matchup. Boy, get your easy dose ready. San Francisco at Arizona.
Good Lord, can we flex that game out? Look, I'm sticking with Frank Gore as a stud, even though he absolutely messed the bed last week. What was going on with that? I don't have an explanation to how San Francisco pulled a total offensive no-show last week, but I don't expect it to repeat itself as far as Frank Gore is concerned. The Cardinals aren't good against the run. I think, you know, Frank Gore is going to be ready to bust out. And remember, look back to week one. That was his worst week of the season. In week two, he had his best week of the season on the rebound. Look for Frank Gore to do that again this week. I know this is going to surprise a lot of people here, but to me, my dud in this game is Vernon Davis. Look, he left the game injured. His ankle is messed up. He hasn't scored in 3 weeks. Pay attention to the injury reports, but I'd start, you know, Jimmy Graham, Joel Dreesen over this guy this week. I don't like the way he's looked in the offense, and he's banged up. Delanie Walker might be the one getting more receptions in this game out of the tight end slot. The sleeper, another surprise here, I like the Niners' defense in this game. And it's the trend that I've had of going against Derek Anderson, and you do not lose when you do such a thing. He's been sacked a lot lately, and the Niners' defense, if nothing else, has been sacking quarterbacks at the rate of 3 a game in the past 4 games. And you know Anderson is always good for a turnover. In this boring affair, I'll take the Niners 20, Arizona 13.
All right, there you have it, that NFC West that nobody wants to win. Fantasy Football Insiders radio show coming down the stretch. Two-minute drill. Going to try to answer all your final questions in the chat room here. Beanballs, Ross has answered your question in the chat room. C. Ace is up, response to your big dilemma over there. Go Bronx. You know, I saw the chat room that the running back is always the way to go, but I'm going to go Stevie Johnson here. I'm going to ride the red hot. Why look like a fool and put Stevie Johnson on your bench, especially with the Bills flinging it and winging it around? Stevie Johnson, man, this guy just finds the end zone each and every week. There's no chance I'm going to sit this guy. Sean Green and LaDainian Tomlinson, is it time to bench Tomlinson for Green? You know what? As much as my co-hosts might disagree with me, I'm going to say no, not yet. I'm going to give LaDainian Tomlinson one more chance to ride it out. But I know these guys disagree on that one with me. Cleveland or Baltimore defense, you know, I never thought I'd say this, but we mentioned it earlier in the show. The Cleveland defense is your number one ranked fantasy football defense for week number 12. You go Cleveland over Baltimore in a rare one for this week number 12. DC Keen, you know, I think you have some interesting choices there. What I'm going to do is ensure myself. I'm going to go with the two Patriots Woodhead and Welker, because one, if not both, are going to find the end zone. So whoever gets it, that's who, you know, you're going to ensure yourself with Woodhead and Welker. They're all very evenly matched choices. And then fifth ward, I like Tolbert, Sidney Rice, and Braylon Edwards to find the end zone against the Bengals this week. And then the final question, Ryan Fitzpatrick over Mark Sanchez. That's a tough one. Rev, in 10 seconds, Sanchez or Fitzpatrick?
Sanchez this week.
Ross?
Agreed.
I agree as well. One last one. Tight end question. Keller, Kevin Boss, Heath Miller, or Joel Dreesen? Get it in, Ross.
I like Dreesen.
Ralph?
Yeah, Dreesen.
Okay. I like, for myself, Heath Miller. I think I just got a feeling with that one.
Homer.
Heath Miller. All right, guys. Fantasy Football Insiders. Woo! We did it again, baby. Check us out next Sunday. Sunday from 8 to 10 for the rest of the way out. Big shout-out to all our support and our fans. Love it. Always appreciate it. See you next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Y'all ready for this? I like to move it, move it. 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 Give it up, go.
Welcome to the big show.
A couple of tackles. And I got it!